Are you someone who usually donates blood? Have you found it perhaps a little bit more difficult in the last couple of years with everything that's gone on in the world? Well, it seems you're not the only one. There's been a huge drop in blood donations during the pandemic, and it's being felt again this month. The National Blood Bank really needs your help. Gemma Falkenmeyer is from Lifeblood and joins us this morning. Hey, Gemma.
Yeah, hi, Amelia. How are you?
I'm not too bad. How are you and the team going? Oh, it sounds like it's stressful times. They're trying to get people in the chairs.
Yeah, I think the real issue for us right now is just so many of our regular donors are being impacted by, having to be in isolation or, having just received a vaccination or unwell. So it really, for us, it's a day-by-day struggle to really encourage other people to step up or sub in, as we say, and take the place of our regular donors.
I suppose it's easy to think, when we think of where the blood goes, it's often sort of more the emergency types, but there's a consistent demand, isn't there?
Yeah, so really what we've seen at the moment is really, really high numbers of people not making their blood donation appointments. So in December, it was the highest that we've seen since the pandemic started. So we've got about half of people at the moment not making their blood donation appointments. But we have also seen very high demand for blood, and especially in December, we saw a lot of people back on the roads out of lockdown, and there was a rise in the need for blood for accidents, emergencies, but also obstetrics. And on top of that, all of the cancer patients who need their transfusions. So that has meant, that meeting hospital orders has been tricky for us the past few months.
So sort of one in two people, you say, Gemma, are actually showing up and giving blood. Do you think it's because of this isolation, or do you think there's a few questions maybe we could dive into this morning and answer for people? Because I think there are some questions around whether, once you've had COVID, when you can donate again.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. So I guess for us, the big thing to let people know is that you do have to be 28 days clear of any symptoms before you can donate blood if you've had a positive test, any of the tests. And so we'd love people, as soon as they reach that 28-day mark, to please book in. If you are isolating or you're waiting on a test result, you also can't donate blood. And of course, if you're showing any symptoms. If you've had a vaccination or you haven't had a vaccination, that doesn't matter too much. You just have to wait 3 days after you've had your vaccination before you can donate blood. We'd like to let people know if once they're outside of those waiting periods, if they could please book an appointment to donate blood.
Gemma Falkenmeyer is with us this morning. She's from the Australian Red Cross Lifeblood. Gemma, I guess at the moment, is there any blood in particular that you need, the types or, whole blood versus plasma platelet donations?
Yeah, so for us right now, it really is about the red stuff, but particularly O negative blood type, which is makes up only a very small percentage of the population. We know that around 50% of people don't know their blood type, so that makes it very difficult for us when we do these call outs. But we would like to see people booking in for those red cell donations, and particularly people of O neg, which is the emergency blood type. It's used in ambulances, rescue helicopters, and when there's a major accident or emergency. But it's also used for some cancer patients and babies who are really sick, and it's a really good blood type for them.
Gemma, we thank you for your time this morning. Before I let you go, we've spoken about possible COVID-related challenges that might give people a bit of a time frame where they can't donate. Is there anything else that stops people from donating?
No, but I think, obviously we know from speaking to donors, there is some anxiety out there about moving around because of the high case numbers. So we would let people know that our donor centres are places of wellness and are safe. We have temperature checks and lots of things in place to make sure that, and social distancing to make sure that you are safe inside our donor centres. Please get in touch if you can donate on 13 14 95.
Gemma, thank you again so much this morning. I've got mine booked for this afternoon.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Amelia.
No, thank you for your time, Gemma. Appreciate it all. Gemma Falkenmeyer there is with the Australian Red Cross Lifeblood Service. If you can find some time and maybe make a donation, it's not that scary. It's a little prick. And then you sit there and have a chat to the beautiful people, read a few magazines and take time out from life for just an hour or so. And one young man who certainly has been very grateful for those blood donations is 13-year-old Hamish O'Brien from Wellington. Hamish is undergoing treatment for aplastic anemia, which that treatment for much of last year included weekly blood transfusions of platelets and also monthly hemoglobin transfusions as well. Just before Christmas, though, Hamish and his parents, Danica and Guy, got some good news that his platelet and hemoglobin levels were stabilising. So for now, those transfusions have largely been paused. I caught up with the family to find out a little bit more about their experience, though, relying so heavily on blood donations.
I got a heap of bruises from playing footy and they weren't going away. So I went to the doctors to check it out and, yeah, all my blood counts were really low.
And so the doctors sound like they were pretty incredible. They did lots of tests and worked it all out. Tell me how they started to treat you from there once they worked out it was, is it aplastic anemia?
Yep. They gave me blood products, transfusion, keep my hemoglobin and my platelets up so I didn't feel too tired and didn't bruise too easily. And then they started giving me ACTAM treatment, which was to try and help kind of reset my immune system and hopefully get it working again.
You probably know a lot more about blood products than the rest of us at just 13 years old, Hamish. Danica, Guy, tell me what it was like for you as Hamish's parents.
Yeah, so it was pretty scary. Guy was with Hamish when they went to point scores and he noticed, like, it was very obvious that his bruises were much more than the other kids that had been playing football. And so we went to Dubbo and they started giving him platelets, which was to stop him from bleeding. His platelet levels were 7, which is 7,000, and they're supposed to be 120,000. And they flew us to Sydney thinking that he had leukemia. And then when they did the bone marrow aspiration to confirm that, his bone marrow was empty. So aplastic anemia is basically bone marrow failure. So it took us a while in Sydney to get a confirmation because they wanted to know why that was happening. And in that time, that's when they started, from the 21st of November, started giving Hamish weekly platelet transfusions and then monthly hemoglobin, like the red cell transfusions. So it was pretty scary and daunting for us because we didn't know what had happened or why it had happened.
Yeah, it sounds it. But at the same time, it sounds like the last couple of months getting those weekly transfusions and the treatment that the doctors have got together, it sounds like you're heading in the right direction. Guy, how are things looking with Hamish at the moment?
He looks good, actually. His colour has come back and he's just got a little bit more bounce in his step than what he had before. It was a pretty daunting process. But he's looking good at the moment. We're quietly confident. Let's hope that we're on the downhill run of this and we can get back to some sort of normality.
Danica, Guy and their son Hamish O'Brien with us this morning talking about Hamish's condition, aplastic anemia. Things are looking, touch wood, like you say, Guy, pretty good at the minute. But weekly transfusions, and Hamish, you are O negative, which while that's the universal blood type, you can give blood to anyone, you can only get it from another O negative blood donor, is that right?
Yeah.
So that doesn't give you many people to pick from.
His blood that he needed was very specific because it is O negative and because Hamish potentially has to have a transplant. They wanted to minimise how many donors he kind of came in contact with. So he had to have platelets from his platelets each week had to be enough from one donor. So it was very precious and it had to be specific for him. So like Sydney, it was always organised through Sydney Blood Bank to come to either Bathurst, Dubbo or Orange if we were being treated regionally. So it was very specific for him. But they thankfully were able to give it to him. I think there was one day in Bathurst where they couldn't get it to him and we had to put his clinic to the next day. We've been very grateful for the 12 months of platelet transfusions where we were able to have those donors be able to donate enough for him to have his treatment.
We're certainly very lucky across Australia that we have this, you know, lifeblood this fantastic donor system where we can get blood whether we need it in a car crash or whether it's ongoing like Hamish has been receiving. Danica and Guy, are you both blood donors? Has this changed your perception of how people can need blood for different things?
Well, definitely. We probably don't do it enough. And I think going forward, I will endeavour to up the ante and try and give some more blood. It has been a lifeblood to Hamo, and we would have actually been absolutely disastrous had we have not had the access to the facilities that we have.
We've both been donating blood. I've had three babies. There's been periods of time where I haven't been able to donate blood, and we went to England, so there was a period where we couldn't donate blood. But at the moment, our advice from our specialist team, because of Hamish's potential transplant, is that Guy and I couldn't give blood in case we had to be his donor for his bone marrow.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been frustrating, especially for me, because I am O negative, that I haven't been able to do the donations.
Well, I'm sure you'll catch up. You know, you've got to look after the three of you right now. We talk so much about blood donations as well, but you've also gone through trying to find bone marrow donors. What was that like?
Well, very difficult, actually, under the circumstances this year because of COVID. There were potential donors in other states, but at that point they were ineligible because couldn't cross borders, etc. So they went looking for donors on the World Wide Register. Normally what happens with a bone marrow transplant is they will find a suitable donor somewhere in the world and they will put the patient under and extract it, and there will be a nurse from the hospital that actually flies to that country, and they quite literally just pack it in an esky and bring it home with them.
Wow.
But because of COVID restrictions and on international travel, that sort of went by the wayside.
Gosh, it's needle in a haystack sort of stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, we didn't find someone in Australia. A lot of our relatives, you know, and people that we know all wanted to, you know, be tested for Hamish, but they won't test specifically for patients unless it's an immediate family member. So for us, it's more anyone that asks us how they can help, it's to be on the international register. When you give blood, you can tick that you're happy to go on the international register. And, you know, as we've discovered, it's very hard. Out of the whole world, there was two potential donors for Hamish that were non-related. But Dr. Kilo, our specialist, said to us, you know, if another family helps us, like, you know, if we then go on the register, we might be able to help another family. That's how hard it is to find a non-related donor. So anyone between the ages of 18 and 35, if they can tick that box when they're donating blood to say that they're happy, and it's just like a blood sample to get the genetic profile to see if you'd be suitable.
Certainly something else to think of there. Hamish, you still there? How are you going at the moment? 13 and in, or heading into year 8. What's the next step?
I'm not sure, actually. I think we just keep waiting and see what happens. Hopefully they keep going up.
Yeah, we're super grateful at the moment that the pressure valve has been taken off for us, because Hamish is currently, after 12 months of weekly and monthly transfusions, non-dependent on the transfusions. So we're in a test, you know, wait period. So he's having regular blood tests to check his levels. And at the moment, his levels are rising slowly, which is indicating that his fourth round of immune suppression has worked. That's why Guy was saying we're cautiously optimistic at the moment. So the team in Sydney is looking the most excited they ever have.
That's certainly good news. And wishing Hamish and certainly his parents, Danica and Guy O'Brien, all the very best. Fingers crossed those blood pointers keep heading in the right direction.